It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I've asked this question before. I'm going to ask it again. Is it too late for America? Is it too late for our culture? Is it too late to turn the tide back in terms of morality, sanity, basic values of life? Is it too late? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, you can email me, Dr. Brown. That's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Normally, when we come to the end of the week, we do Q&A. You've got questions. We've got answers. We answer your email questions, take your calls on random subjects. But with all the debates that I've had recently, I wanted to cover some other issues. So I want to talk to you about the show that I was on. Many of you saw it a couple days ago on Tyra Banks. We've gotten a ton of emails from folks expressing appreciation. It was an environment that we knew would be going in one direction only. We were quite sure that the audience would be prime. Well, first, Tyra's audience, you would not exactly associate with conservative Bible believers, I would imagine. But we knew that the whole show was going in one direction in terms of they're going to have these kids that say they're transgender. Now, look, it should break your heart when you watch this and realize the struggle these kids have and their families have, etc. The solution, though, is not to tell a boy that he's actually a girl in a boy's body and send him to school dressed as the opposite sex and then give him hormone blockers and then sex change surgery. There's a better way. But I knew the whole show would be going in one emotional direction with these kids and their families out there. And then the little segment we had, 5 minutes, there are going to be two people on with me that would be hostile to my position. And beforehand, the producers really encouraged us to interrupt each other. I said, well, I'm not going to be rude. But they said, well, you know, you need to talk over each other. Well, trust me, that happened. And if you've seen the clip, if not, we'll have a link on our website. But if you've seen the clip, the person sitting next to me was a transgender, so a man who had sex change surgery to become a woman, who's a medical doctor who performs sex change surgery, keeps grabbing my hand as I'm talking, trying to stop me from talking. That was peculiar just to have that happen in a talk show setting. In any case, I want you to hear a clip from the beginning of that show, and then I'm going to talk to you about an article that came out in USA Today with researchers saying that it doesn't matter if it's a mother, father, two mothers, two fathers. It really doesn't matter at all. Gender doesn't matter at all in raising kids. Oh, and then remember, our president has now advocated publicly for Don't Ask, Don't Tell to be repealed in the military so that gays and lesbians can serve openly in the military, and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy would be discarded. For those that thought that we were extreme in warning you about some of the stances that Mr. Obama would take, he certainly lived up to the warnings. So just a heads up, there's a couple of references, just medical references or physiological references to parts of the body in what follows. There's nothing sensual or unclean or pornographic, obviously, or we wouldn't be airing it. But I just want to alert you in case you get a little kid around that you don't want to hear these things. But this is how the show opens. Tyra Banks is going to give the introduction, and then you're going to find out here's a boy that's now a girl that's now a boy. And even though there's some pictures that are relevant, I want you to really hear the dialogue, and I want you to notice what this little child refers to now as a birth defect.
We have not just one, but two Tyra Show daytime exclusives that you will not see on any other talk show. Now, back in the day in the past, we met transgender teens, and I remember one that was 13 years old by the name of Chris. Now, Chris is back with us today. Chris was born a girl named Julia, but felt he had no choice but to transition into the body of a boy and become a boy, because Chris says that he is truly a boy. But until today, we have never seen very young transgender children, 7 years old and 8 years old, barely in elementary school, who've already bravely have started living as the opposite gender.
Okay, so you understand what you're dealing with. elementary school children that are, quote, bravely living as the opposite gender. So that means the little girl sitting next to your boy in school is actually a little boy. And in the locker room with the other girls, that's a little boy. Just so you know what's being presented bravely and positively.
Now, take a look at this picture of a little boy named Joey at 5 years old. Joey is now a girl named Josie and is 8 years old.
Okay, Joey is now a girl, meaning identifying as a girl and dressing as a girl. It's the same boy. That is the same boy, okay, in every other respect, but now dressing as a girl and looking like a girl. Now, you're going to see that you won't see the pictures, obviously, on radio. That's not so important. You can watch the clip later. It's the dialogue that's about to ensue that I want you to hear.
Now, take a look at this picture of an adorable little girl named Kennedy at age 3. Now, look at this picture. She's now a little boy named Kennedy, kept the name, but changed the sex, and is 7 years old. First, check out 8-year-old Josie's story.
Oh, I know. Pink.
You always choose pink.
I know, but it's my favorite color.
It's hard to imagine Josie being any different. It's just normal for us.
These are my dress, and this is the one I wear. And I have some dolls, and this is what I'm gonna make soon. And I have a little pink. It's a pink bag.
Aside from the fact that Josie's transgender, she's not really all that different.
I have a bra.
What do you use your bra for?
For my boobs. I always been a girl.
Always, even when you were little?
Yep.
But you have a penis.
But it's just a birth defect.
Okay, it's just a birth defect. I mean, it's very sad. I know there are major issues involved. You might be listening to me and one of your kids is in this very situation, or perhaps you're a teenager listening and you say, that's who I really am. You don't understand. I'm not minimizing the difficulties, the challenges, the struggles. I am simply saying that the solution is not to dress the kid as the opposite sex, to then, when they near puberty, put them on hormone blockers to delay the onset of puberty, to, quote, give them more time to figure out who they are, and then, sex change, surgery, mutilate parts of the body, and they'll never be a total man or woman, whichever they change into, and then hormones, normally for the rest of their lives, to keep them from being what they're actually created to be. Yes, there are problems, issues. The solution is you fix things from the inside out. Now, when that's being broadcast, and I'm going to let you hear the interaction that I had with the folks, and it was pretty intense. Of course, I and many others are called to be in situations like that, so this is what we're called to do, and it's fine. You do it with joy, with a broken heart for the people, but with joy in terms of obedience that you get to shine light in darkness. And hey, if we can't shine light in darkness, where are we going to shine it? But, the idea that this is now presented before the people day and night through the media in so many different ways, born in the wrong body, so many other ways the media will convey these things and shows left and right that normalize homosexuality and on and on and on. Then when you realize what kids are being taught in schools, then when you realize what they're being taught in colleges, then when you realize what comes down in diversity training in the business world, then when you realize some of the direction that courts have gone, then when you hear our own president saying it's time to repeal, don't ask, don't tell in the media, the question is, can the tide be turned? Can the tide be turned? Is it possible to turn things back? Is it possible through God moving in hearts to turn things back, or without God moving in hearts? Is it possible? Or for some of you, when you look at this, is this just evidence? It's all over. It's all coming down. These are the last days. Jesus is coming any minute. Now, if that's your view, I just caution you that there have been a lot of times of wickedness. Look, homosexual practice was far more normal or normalized in Greek society. as the early church was growing, that didn't mean it was all over. That meant it was just getting started. So I want to caution you before you have the "it's all over, let's get out of here" escape is a mentality. But I want to tell you things are in a very intense condition. And this is not the time for us to be playing games and sitting on the sidelines and just trying to enjoy our lives. It's time to say, "God, here I am. How can I make a difference? How can I make a difference in speaking the truth? How can I make a difference in acts of mercy and kindness? How can I make a difference in shining light in dark places? How can I make a difference?" Question is, can we really make a difference? We'll be back, 866-34-TRUTH. You don't want to miss this next segment and the clip that we're going to play. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. By the way, if you missed the debates with Dr. James White earlier this week and the discussion that's going on, just go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Listen to the shows. I think you'll find them enlightening. I'm so pleased that both positions were presented clearly. And then dive in. You got some time. Dive into the comments that are taking place. Okay, so here I am. There's a little five-minute segment on the Tyra Banks Show dealing with, quote, transgender children. And she's going to introduce the other guests that are there. And then we start talking and notice the difficulty I have actually being able to talk. Thankfully, I was able to get out key points. And as I've been watching reaction to the clip that was put on YouTube, people are not particularly pleased with the way I was interrupted. So at least some of the emotional shift was positive in terms of people realizing, oh, okay, let the man talk. But let's listen in, and it's going to get pretty intense in a little while.
We're talking about transgender kids that are changing their genders at a very young age, as young as 6, 7, and 8 years old. And now it's getting very controversial because there's, you know, different sides to the story and to the debate. Can a child really know if they are transgender? Or what age do they really know that they are transgender? Can they get therapy and get over the feeling of being born the wrong gender? So these are all the questions that we're going to talk about right now. Joining us are Kim Pearson. She's the executive director of Trans Youth Family Allies. Dr. Marcy Bowers, who is a transgender herself and is a specialist in transgender surgery. And Dr. Michael Brown, a professor and minister. So Kim is an advocate for transgender youth. Explain to me why you think that a child, like a 6, 7, and 8-year-old child, not even to me, to everybody, that you feel that they can make that decision to change their gender.
Well, actually, I don't believe it is a decision, and I don't think they're deciding anything. Mm-hmm. Just as you knew growing up that you were a little girl, mm-hmm. they know that they're little boys and little girls. Not every child who expresses some sort of gender variance is transgender. But it's my experience that transgender children do know.
Now, I know, Michael, you disagree on Kim's position. Why do you disagree?
Well, we're both here because we love kids and we care about them. Our hearts go out to them. But this is a known psychiatric condition, gender identity disorder. It's on the records. It's a known psychiatric condition. It's been diagnosed in hundreds and hundreds of kids. Oh, okay, and there are treatments from the inside out. Compassion causes us to look at the whole thing as opposed to,
Listen to the children.
The fact of the matter is,
children
as parents,
crazy.
Listen,
children don't start out
there
crazy.
Are plenty of kids at 2, 3, 4 that think certain things that are wrong. There are plenty of kids at 6, 8, 10 that do.
Listen.
Here, we know there are anorexics, okay, who are absolutely convinced they're obese. You don't do liposuction on them. There are people with what is known as body identity disorder.
No.
Scholarly studies in the Archives of Sexual Behavior compare these two things. These are people who are obsessed.
But we're not going back to the 1950s.
No,
we're not
going to
put our children's hands in hot boiling water to get them to go back to their old gender.
I'm talking about Dr. Ann Lawrence, who is a male-to-female transsexual, just like you just wrote an article in the Archives of Sexual Behavior comparing gender identity disorder where kids are convinced.
We're not going back to the 1950s,
Michael. Okay, Dr. Bowers, you speak now.
We're not going back. You can't get a kid to be a boy just because you hand him a football, or a girl because you hand her a doll.
We're not talking about that.
Listen to the children. Love the children. We're about love and compassion.
Dr. Bowers, love tells the truth.
Listen to the families.
So how do you feel about gay? just gay people, gay children.
Well, this is not an issue of gay children.
No, I know. I'm just trying to get your
I love gays and lesbians. I believe God created male and female. There's a best order. I love gays and lesbians, but this is not a gay and lesbian issue. This is an issue of gender
conversion
identity disorder.
Conversion therapy doesn't work.
We're not talking about conversion therapy. Here, look, Dr. Kenneth Zucker is one of the world's leading authorities on this. He's treated 900 children, and
so
he says
what age
the best
do you think is the right age? What age do you think
it's
is
not,
the right age?
We want to help the kids be at home in the biological body they're getting. When a kid's
and
born, we don't know if
when
it's a boy or a girl.
When that doesn't work, Michael. When that doesn't work.
Over how many years? Then you're going to put them on drugs, hormone blockers, then you're going to chop off their penis and put them on drugs for the rest of their life? That's the good solution?
Make children miserable? How long? What's the right amount of time?
There are ways as parents and families that are proven,
they don't
clinically
work.
Tested.
They're not proven.
Why are you going to deny? Listen,
they're
you
not
have your
proven.
Opinion. You have experiments
There's
here.
Just
you
as
don't even
much
know for
medical.
Sure. You have experiments. You're experimenting
Kim.
With
kids. No, we're not. No,
if you
we're
support
not.
The use of inhibitors and hormones used correctly, tell us that.
The children that continue to express over the course of their life, 3 to 5 years minimum, going into
wrong?
Puberty.
What if they're wrong?
What if they're wrong? What if they are? What if they are? The question was, how do I feel about it? And what do I have to say about it? And what I have to say is that children that have expressed this about themselves all of their lives, their entire lives, and who have been properly screened by medical and psychological experts in
test?
The field.
What's the test? How do you test it? How do you
How
know?
Do you test against it?
You don't have to test against it because you
but
want to help a kid
you know.
Not have mutilation.
You're
not
saying
go to
you know
ridicule.
With 100%
no,
certainty?
I'm simply saying the best course of action is for the child to be at home with their biological sex.
And when and that maybe, doesn't
and
work.
It, how do we know it doesn't work with a 3-year-old or 5-year-old?
What about when they put. But we do know that some of them.
Old,
but
no,
even just on a fact, there's like 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds. And so even so when say they're 18, just take away the whole kid thing. Legal adult, 18, and they're saying that they're in the wrong body, then what? Dr. Brown.
I still do not believe sex reassignment surgery is the best case any more than the people who are suicidal because they have 4 healthy limbs with
so
body identity disorder.
You'd rather have
disorder.
People die.
Have a limb
rather have people die.
No, I wouldn't rather have. I'd rather
That's
work with them,
said.
Love them, help them.
But what about
okay?
something like the people
would
that
would
do
you
kill
chop
themselves?
Off the limb of someone with body identity
no.
disorder?
Mike,
let's,
Why
it
not?
Nothing to do with that.
Of course,
it has nothing to do with chopping off a body part. It is about restoring, recognizing identity.
I know transgender into their 20s that are perfectly fine today. That are functioning normally, that are perfectly fine, that should be the goal. Look, compassion often has to go against the grain.
Dr. Bowes, I'll let you sum us up.
Well, I'll tell you, I do surgery on, I do sex change surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the average age of people that come to me for surgery is 48 years old. Of those 48-year-olds,
it doesn't change over time.
It has been there. 90% of them report that they've felt this way since the age of 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Just like the kids you just
but
heard.
You
it
know.
Doesn't go
when
away.
You send the kid
it doesn't go away.
And there are plenty of people that had sex change surgery that regret
They're
it afterwards. And it's too late.
They
it's
do
too
not
late.
Regret.
Heated debate.
It's probably the
heated debate.
All right. So that was the interaction. Now, I'm going to give a little background on that when we come back, some of the details that I was sharing, and we'll go to the phones. Jeff, Tiffany, hang in there. You'll be up first. What's fascinating on YouTube is some of the comments. You know, some folks are what drives me crazy is they wouldn't let Dr. Brown talk and kept interrupting him. Those who claim to be so tolerant, they can't even tolerate letting someone who disagrees with them talk. Their rudeness speaks volume to me. Don't interrupt blanks. Let the dude talk. There's a lot of that. But there are others. This guy is a blanking idiot. That guy is a moron. I want to punch him in the face. How about this one? Why does it matter if someone changes their sex to you? These are comments on YouTube on the clip. Does it matter when you get a new hairstyle? No. So this is just like getting a new hairstyle. Yeah. Just change your sex. How about this? People like Dr. Brown are the crazy conservative fags who just want society and the world to be in complete order, which is impossible in an imperfect world such as this. And this guy is crazy. So you get all the responses, and it's amazing. Hey, just like changing your hairstyle. Just change your sex. What's the big deal? God help us. Okay, a lot more to come. Stay with us.
The Truth Radio Network.
Send the fire to
Hey friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Don't forget March 4th and 5th, Discover Fire Days. I'll tell you more about that a little later in the broadcast. And I want to tell you about some of the science behind what I shared on Tyra Banks' show and a quote from Dr. Paul McHugh. I'd gotten a good amount of excellent information from Dr. McHugh, who is the chairman of the psychiatric department at Johns Hopkins University and a highly respected national figure in the debate. But when you see the state of things, when you see how far things have gone, is there a way to turn the tide back? I mean, why are we even standing and speaking the truth? Why should I be on a show like that and others like me be on other shows and get the word out? I mean, things just going in one direction? Are we just supposed to be witnesses regardless? Or is God going to use us in all the different ways, moms and dads and folks in their homes and places of business and churches and politics and media and everything else to effect a change? Or is it just going to, hey, we just get people saved and don't worry about this stuff? 866-34-TRUTH. Jeff in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I hate to see kids get messed up chemically and physically at that young age. I have been doing a study on cleanliness, our cleanness, purity, and holiness for a class I got to teach. Mm-hmm. And I found out that that cleanness, for example, the homosexual is subjected to semen and feces, which is two of the most unclean. It's not only unclean health-wise, but it's unclean spiritually, which the two are related. So when a homosexual says he's not hurting anybody but himself, he's just doing, and the other guy, he's hurting his partner, and every new partner he finds, he's hurting him. It's like trying to put two positive charges on a battery together. It just don't work.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, the as far as these kids are concerned, they normally wouldn't talk about hormone blockers drugging them until they're getting close to puberty, which is still outrageous to think of giving kid drugs at that age. So I'm completely with you on that. On the homosexual sex issue, we know, for example, that if a man is faithful to his wife, the two of them, they're virgins when they get married, they're faithful to each other, they won't get a sexually transmitted disease. It's amazing. But if that guy starts sleeping around with different women, there's a greater chance now of him getting a sexually transmitted disease, which he could then give to his wife, etc. So we know that promiscuity is unsafe. The same with male-male homosexual sex. The practices are less safe than heterosexual sex. There are many related problems that come up, aside from it being wrong in God's sight and not what he intended. But certain parts of the body were made for certain things. So you're absolutely right. Even when you get away from some of the more extreme practices that can happen between men in sexual acts, and you've got extreme practices across the board, heterosexual, homosexual, but just the basic sex acts, so I'm not getting into more detail here, obviously, of male-male relations, are fraught with more sexual problems. There are things that are more easily transmitted, more easily torn, the diseases that come with it. So yeah, you're right. It's not good for the people, and then it can only spread to others. All the more reason to really pray for the gospel to come and radically change people's lives. Hey Jeff, God bless you as you teach your class. I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Tiffany, Winston-Salem. Nice to hear from you, Tiffany. How you doing?
Good, and you?
Good. Thank you.
Dr. Brown, the next time you go on a show like that, you need to take me with you, because the way they pounced on you, I wouldn't have let them pounce on me like that. They would have heard what I had to say. Now, granted, you cast your pearls before swine, because they didn't want to receive it, and that's the problem in our society. It's too much of that kind of stuff, and I've lost respect for a lot of these talk show hosts like Tyra Banks and Oprah Winfrey. They're not using their gifts and talents the way they need to be used. They can reach a lot of people, but they are promoting this type of thinking. There is no way that a child that young is able to determine anything, so it's up to the parents to steer their children in the proper direction and not buy into all of this stuff that society is now accepting.
Yeah, you know, and Tiffany, of course, I was not there primarily for the guests, but for the other people listening, because I knew in the entire show this was going to be the only voice going in another direction. And plus, I'm assuming you're female and African American.
I know I have a deep voice, but yes, I am right. female and African American.
Right. So as a white male, I can be looked at as the more dominant figure in a debate setting too. As an African American female, you could probably let it go.
And I would have. I would have. Those women with those little baby voices, I would have had them. So the next time, call me. I'll go with you.
All right. Hey, I'll tell them I got a special guest. But, you know, this much we know is that we overcome evil with good. And,
you're right.
And I'm seeing consistently, even people who differed, you know, because, I mean, they're using all kinds of crude language on YouTube, but they're recognizing that I wasn't allowed to speak or that I was speaking rationally. So, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath, and to whatever extent we can be gentle in our response, but you're 100% right in terms of the way things are pushed.
I believe in a soft answer, but I believe in a firm answer as well. And I would have demanded, and I respect the way you have to handle things the way you have to, and you correctly pointed out I may have been treated differently because of my ethnicity and the fact that I'm a female, of course.
Yes,
and so,
yes.
And I've been in situations like this where I've had to assert my feelings, so I don't use any profanity or try to demean people, but
absolutely.
I want you to hear what I have to say. And your logic made perfectly good sense, but people love darkness.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why, again, we're going to stand as witnesses regardless. But, hey, Tiffany, next time we'll let you know and see if you can
call
join me. All right. God bless you.
You owe me anyway for using up my minutes.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
All right. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
That I would love to see. Hey, Tyra's producers, if you're listening today, give Tiffany a call next time around. Dr. McHugh, I was able to contact actually the day of the Tyra show, and he is on record as saying that any type of chemical or surgical intervention in the life of a child, teenager, is a form of, he's talking about sex change, hormone blockers, is a form of child abuse. And it was Dr. McHugh who pointed out, and others have, the tremendous similarity with those suffering from body identity disorder. In fact, I was going to quote him by name because originally I was told I'd get the last word in because I'm always careful to attribute sources, etc. But it was Dr. McHugh who had also pointed out the tremendous similarity with people with body identity disorder. In other words, they are fully convinced. They are fully convinced. Their brain map tells them, for example, they shouldn't have anything under their left knee. And all their lives, they felt like this, and they're tormented by it. Some of them have tried to cut off legs, limbs, you know, at train tracks. Seriously. Some have committed suicide. One British doctor began to amputate limbs of perfectly healthy patients a few years back because that was the only way they could get relief. They're totally happy now with the amputation. They finally feel as whole human beings. Of course, there was an outrage against that. Well, why an outrage against that, but not chopping off other body parts, etc. And so it's a sad situation. It's one that needs our compassion, grace, but absolutely what was being presented on that show is the wrong way. And as much as it's in the name of love, it's not true compassion, which is why I kept referring to compassion, love. We come back, I want to talk to you about the USA Today article. And friends, God's kingdom is ultimately going to triumph. Light is ultimately going to triumph over darkness. So hang in there. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. 866-34-TRUTH. Email me at drbrown, drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Again, if you missed the debates with Dr. James White earlier this week and the interaction taking place on the website, go to askdrbrown.org and click on The Line of Fire. If you're not on my email list, we've got some real important announcements with some new publications we'll be sending out next week. So be sure to be on the email list, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Fill it out, and then hundreds of hours of free materials there, debates you can watch with rabbis, messages you can listen to free, great articles you can read on the Voice of Revolution online magazine, and plenty of discussions you can get into. I want to just give you an update. USA Today put out a report a few days back, same-sex couples can be effective parents, researchers find. And the researchers, Stacy and Blibars, or Blibars, if I'm mispronouncing the name, forgive me, I've seen it in print 100 times but never heard it spoken. These researchers, pro-gay researchers, previously said that orientation doesn't matter, homosexual or heterosexual. The research was criticized by many as very much flawed, and it didn't indicate, when they surveyed the parents, they didn't indicate the fact that the kids had a higher percentage of a greater possibility of themselves becoming homosexual or being uncertain about their gender or being more experimental in their sexuality, etc. They didn't mention that because they didn't look at those as negatives. Now the latest report claims that it doesn't matter to men, to women, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Which, you know, just a simple little thing. A man, no matter how caring he is, can't be a good mom. And a mom, no matter how strong she is, can't be a good dad. There are reasons that it's only men and women that can procreate, and that a woman that can carry and deliver a child and then nurse a child. There's something in the way God intended it. There's an excellent little critique of this by Glenn Stanton from Focus on the Family. If you go to the Line of Fire website, we have a link to his article where he says that this new study demonstrates extreme ignorance of the current literature and lays out some of the other issues. And look, the fact is thousands of studies plus the state of human beings around the world have indicated that moms and dads, a mom and a dad, is the best way to raise a kid, which is why it's been the way it's been done through the ages. Okay, let me go back to the phones. Christiana, thanks for calling today.
Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Good. I do watch Tyra Banks sometimes, and I think you did. I didn't see this, and I just heard the clip, and I think you did represent very well on there. But I do have a question, and I just want to get your opinion. I've asked a couple of pastors and got their opinion, but it's not unrealistic. I mean, this can happen. My husband is a pastor, and say, for instance, we had someone that was transgender that joined the church and was a wonderful leader, ended up becoming in leadership, a minister or elder or whatever in the church, but we didn't know that. And this particular person wanted to come clean, so called us in the office and let us know, you know, that they were once a female, say, for example, but now they were living as a male. Being in this position, how would you recommend we would handle that? Would we take them out of leadership? Would they have to tell the church that they once were a woman? How would you handle that?
Yeah, it's the kind of question that's actually coming up more and more now. And we can't avoid it. So thank you for calling with firsthand experience. So this is someone that actually had sex change surgery?
No, we haven't faced that issue, but it's not something that is unrealistic. So
right. All right. So this is someone, though, that's just identifying as the opposite sex.
Someone that has actually had the surgery.
Oh, okay. They have had the surgery.
Yes.
Okay. Basically, there are a few things. First, they have to, before God, go back to the way he made them. Now, they normally can't reverse the physical surgery.
Right.
But they can get off hormone treatments and go back to dressing and identifying the way they were created. So it's going to mean if they're alone in the shower somewhere, there's going to be an anomaly. But that's the reality of it. So first thing, that they need to go back to who they originally were. They have to accept that. Before God, get off the hormones, change the outfits, etc.
Okay.
That's one thing. And secondly, it'd be a miracle if it could happen within your own church for this person to make it. But I would say, more realistically, help them get their life back together and then find them another church home where they can start fresh with who they really are and go back to the gender that they were created in. Because I think it'd be too traumatic for everyone to try to do it in that same place.
Okay.
So that'd be my counsel. If you need more info, shoot me an email. It'll get to my attention, and we'll try to help out. God bless you.
Okay,
thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, I got a few more thoughts. Stay with us. This is about an interesting comment on YouTube. Some of the viewers, someone claimed that I was the one making sense, but I'm just not making a living cutting off people's genitals. Oh, boy. We need help in our society big time. There was one comment I was looking for early on, which kind of sums up the way people look at us. Oh, let me see here. Yeah, thankfully, you know, people are catching the emphasis on compassion because these things are heartbreaking and difficult and challenging for families to deal with. But where is it? Oh, here we go. This is about me. The bigot who once failed therapy for the trans kids to perpetuate a lifetime of miserable conformism for them and thinks that gays are freaks of nature is a minister and thinks that God ordained the gender binary and homophobia. What a surprise. You know what the gender binary is? Male and female. This is something that is fought against, friends. I've often mentioned this, but one of the students in our school of ministry actually was teaching at a preschool here in Charlotte with four-year-olds and was not allowed to refer to them as boys and girls because that would be making a gender distinction. She had to call them friends. You've got to realize what's at stake. Foundations of society, that once you start to blur gender, bend gender, undo gender, as some are calling for, you undo the foundations of society. I'd encourage you to really look at Scripture and see as a man what it means to be a man. Doesn't mean you have to be macho and into sports, but what does it mean to be a man? What's our role in calling women? Look at Scripture, see what it means. Pastors, leaders, do some good teaching, thinking about these things. And let's ask for God's heart for the homosexual community. Let's ask for God's heart for those who identify as transgender. And let's ask yourself, are you willing to have the doors of your church building open or your home Bible study for a man to come in dressed as a woman who's seeking God or is claiming to be a Christian but is in a state of confusion? Are you willing to do that to help lead people into the truth of the gospel? All right, I want to do something real quick before we're done here. I've got one of our former students in from Italy.
Hi.
His name is Ciro.
Hi, everybody.
What's your last name?
Scuotto.
All right, you can say it better than I can. Get real close to the mic there, buddy.
Okay.
Ciro is married to one of our grads for America, Kathy. They're over there doing frontline ministry in Italy. And Ciro was in our school, was in Fire. We've got Fire Discover Days. You can find out about our school of ministry, where passion, hunger, thirst, desire for God is the norm. And we're out on the streets living it out, doing it, grounded also in solid theology and the Word. If you're 20, if you're 80, you feel called to make a difference, be a world changer, it's a great place to go. Thursday night, March 4th, Friday day, March 5th, Discover Fire. So go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Fire School of Ministry to find out more about that. Ciro, we just got 30 seconds. Tell me of the impact that being at Fire had on your life.
Obviously, it was something I left. Let me leave my country. I left Italy to come to the school because I heard the reports, and that was really challenging to know all this need around us, and yet not many people doing anything. Mm. The fire really challenged you to go out and get the job done. And when you see the need all around you, you want to do something to change the situation around you. And it was very challenging, it was very powerful, and I never regret doing it. And I challenge anybody to take this opportunity to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, whatever it takes, whatever are the consequences, which is one of your best phrases that you use all the time.
Awesome. Hey, Ciro, I'm proud of you and Kathy. They're on the front lines. They're going for it in Italy with their family. Come and be challenged. Find out about Fire. And go to our website. Listen to the resources. Let God challenge you, equip you. He wants to use you to make a difference in this generation. Jesus is Lord. You have an awesome weekend.
This is the Truth Radio Network.